2 Kings chapter number 19.
We'll confess to you that I had prepared a message out of the book of James. I believe it was what God had given me to preach today. I guess I'll preach it maybe at some other point in time. When I got up this morning, woke up during the night, the Lord did not give me peace about preaching that message. Prayed about it, went back to sleep, had peace about what to do then. Got up this morning, the Lord said, "All right, I want you to look at this thing about prayer. And I want to preach on this thought, somebody go get God." You stand to your feet, please. Uzziah is a godly king. He's had a wicked daddy who's shut up the house of God. He's got the nation in idolatry, and his daddy died. Hezekiah took over the kingdom. The first thing he did in the very first day of the very first month was open up the house of God and cleanse it and restore order and worship and the Passover at the house of God. Years later, there comes a terrible enemy. The Assyrian nation has surrounded Jerusalem. And it looks like Hezekiah and his people are going to be defeated. Hezekiah did all he needed to do. He began to fortify his defense systems and rebuild the walls and prepare arsenal of weaponry. And he did all he knew to do. He dug an underground channel to divert water away from the outside to the inside so the enemy couldn't get it. And yet the enemy still stands for years. They're surrounded. They're cut off. They're getting ready to take them off into captivity. And the enemy is ordering his full unconditional surrender. In fact, in verse number 10 of 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings 19 verse 10. He writes a letter to King Hezekiah to Jerusalem. He says, "Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands, by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered?" That's the threats of the enemy. Verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. What about that? He went into the house of God to pray. He didn't take time to get the man of God. He didn't get the deacon board. He didn't get the choir. He went right into the house of God. Thank God he had opened the doors back up. He went right into the house of God and he got on his face before the Lord and began to pray. He took that threatening letter and laid that thing out before God. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord God of Jerusalem, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For there were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." He made a desperate plea unto the Lord. You ever been in a situation that you was just desperate? You begin to pray and seek the face of God. Been times where you didn't even know where you were getting a prayer through. You're praying, but you had no answer, no result. It seemed like that heaven was as brass and nothing was happening. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah saying, this is the man of God, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard." word comes that God has heard his prayer. Praise the Lord. Down here in verse 32. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord, for I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. God does wonderful things. He helps his children two reasons. Number one, he does them for our good. All things work together for good to them that love God or the called according to his purpose. God does them not only for our good, but for his glory. Psalm 115:1 says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy's sake. Amen. So when God does something, it's for our good, but it's for his glory. I want to preach to somebody that's in a situation today that you cannot fix. You've tried. God got me up in the night, said there's some folks that need some help, and they're trying to remedy their situation. They can't get an answer, and they're praying about it. You've been praying about it. God told me to go tell you. I heard their prayer. And I will help your situation. Glory, hallelujah. Now, let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd help us today. Help us to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Help us, God, to be filled with the Holy Ghost to preach to this thy people. For, Lord, we need your help. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Preacher, when should I go get God? Number one, when Satan tries to sift you. Here the king is in this desperate situation. He's threatened, I'm going to destroy you. Your God's deceived you. The God of glory that you serve, he can't stand against us. We've defeated all these other gods and your God is no different. Your God don't even care about you. You prayed and prayed and prayed and your situation is still the same. It doesn't look like it's getting better. You're in bad shape. And the devil's trying to sift you. Understand that the king of Assyria represents the devil. Hezekiah represents the child of Almighty God. And I'm telling you, there is a desperate plea that he makes to the Lord. When he gets this, Satan begins to sift and Satan begins to cause doubt. The Bible says that Hezekiah goes into the house of God and he spreads this out before the Lord and begins to pray. You hear me today? The best thing you'll ever do is go get God when Satan's trying to cause doubt in your life, trying to cause you to be discouraged, trying to get you to be despondent, trying to get you to give up. I tell you what, you can't even anymore. You can't even come into the house of God and rejoice. You come in, you're down and out, you're singing the blues, you're getting ready to have a pity party and pass out invitations. You just feel like you're so despondent, you can't hardly even lift your head up to even look at the choir or to even throw your hand up to testify or to be a witness at the house of God. You know you're struggling and you're in bad shape. But the devil's just trying to sift you like wheat. What can you do? You better run to an old-fashioned altar like Hezekiah did. Throw open the doors of the house of God and run down to an old-fashioned altar and spread it out before God. You need to lay this thing on the altar, child of God. The devil's trying to discourage you. He certainly was doing it in Hezekiah's life. Second of all, you need to go get God when your sincere worship is severed. Have you ever went into the house of God and could not worship? Hezekiah comes in with his heart so heavy. His city surrounded. The outlook not good. Satan trying to sift him. When he comes in the house of God, he ain't running laps. When he comes in the house of God, he's not shouting and praising God. He's not standing to testify. He's not going, woo, glory! It's not what he did. He run right in the house of God with his heart heavy and broken.
And he fell right down to the altar and began to pray. Been many times where you've been in the house of God. You could not sing in the choir. You were invited to, but you just couldn't. Your heart was too broken. Your heart was too burdened. You couldn't raise your hand in thanks to what the choir was singing about because your heart was heavy. You felt overcome. Maybe there were personal reasons for that. I do not know. Maybe you had hurt feelings about something. Maybe there was some bitterness in your life. I do not know. You couldn't testify. There's nothing that you could do there in the house of God. Feels like when you come in, you see these other people rejoicing, standing, praising, shouting, and you can't feel a thing. You ever been there? You couldn't feel a thing. If you ain't careful, you lay it off and say, well, the church is dead. But the truth of the matter is, you're overcome by the weight and cares of things that surround you, and it seems like it can't get no better. What can I do, preacher? You better go get God. You better run down to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, my worship that I used to worship You and rejoice in You, it's been severed by something that's beyond my control. And you need to run to an old-fashioned altar and lay it down there and say, God, I can't deal with this anymore, but I know You can. And see what, I was right there. I was right there in this spot, in that very place in my life. And I know what God's done for me. God heard and answered my prayer. Within the week, things had changed for the glory of God. I went to see Brother Joe Fisher this week on Monday. We had prayer with him. He's in bad shape. I went back up there on Friday to check on him. He seemed like he was doing a whole lot better. He was talking and his eyes was bright and he was all spry. And I looked at him and I was shocked that he had made such a difference over the course of the week. And why was I shocked? I prayed for it. I got what I prayed for and I was amazed. Is that amazing? Little old Chase on Wednesday night was sick. Had him at the hospital, Chase Duncan thought they was going to put him in the hospital with pneumonia. They called me and said, would you pray? We prayed. After the service was over that night, we had a great time at the house of God. I go on the phone, I called his daddy, and I said, what room are y'all in? He said, we ain't no room, we're home. I said, what in the world happened? You said you was going to the hospital in the ER, did you just lay out of church or what? He said, no. He said, God come by while he's home. I feel a little better, I think I'm thirsty, I feel like I'm hungry, and they sent him home. Didn't keep him in the hospital. Now I said, glory to God. Our God hears prayers and He answers prayer. Amen. I'm telling you, I prayed about somebody being saved this week. Just watched a funeral yesterday. I'd been up preaching at the end of the funeral yesterday for Brother Ted Henson. I said, would you bow your head with me? Maybe there's somebody here you're unsaved or uncertain. And if you'd just make this prayer, the Lord would save you. Guess what? When the service was over, this old boy walked up to me and he said, preacher, I appreciate that prayer. At the end of the service today, I appreciate the message, but I appreciate most of all the prayer. And he looked at me and said, I got it. Woo! Glory to God. God still hears and God still answers prayer. You may feel like your worship is severed. You may feel like you're hindered and that God is, listen, you feel like God has let you down. Don't let Satan sift you. Don't let your worship be severed. Just get on fire for God in an old-fashioned altar and go to laying that thing down and saying, oh God, I beseech You, the living God, would You save me for Your glory and for my good, would You help me? And God will hear and answer your prayer. In fact, I stand this morning to tell you, He told me to come tell you, He already heard. He told me to tell you, He already heard. Whoop! Glory to God. You may say, well, I look out there and it don't look like things has changed. That was what Hezekiah did. He went to pray and nothing had happened just yet. But just in a little while, God killed 185,000 Assyrians. When Hezekiah got up the next morning and looked out over the wall there, he said, let's get us a report. What's it look like? Are they still out there? It was all corpses. Says, like God done killed them all. Amen. What happened? God killed them. Let me tell you what, you can go get God when your worship's being severed. You can go get Him when the storms of life surround you. What do you mean? The Assyrians have surrounded Jerusalem with a suffocating death grip. It looks like they're never going to make it. The king's life and all the people hangs completely in the balance. What on earth are they going to do? I think about the New Testament. There was the disciples. The Bible says they were going from one side of the sea to the other. The Bible says that Jesus got on board their vessel and He laid down in the hinder part of the ship and He went to sleep. And the storm blew in. And the waves started overcoming the bow of the ship. And the wind started blowing and changing the course of the ship. And the disciples, they were fishermen, they were sailors, they were bailing water, sailing, they were doing everything they knew to do. And finally, they said, all hope is lost. You better go get Jesus. And they went to the back of the boat and said, Master, awake! Terrorist thou not that we perish. You see, the devil's trying to sift them, saying, Jesus said He is God, but look at Him. When your storm's here, He's asleep. Understand something. As a man, He grew tired. As a man, He grew weary. As a man, there had to be a time when He slept, just like people do. Amen. But as God, when He stood up, and He said to the winds, and He said to the sea, to the waves, peace be still, they had to bow down. Understand something. Now Jesus, with a glorified body, sitting on the right hand of the throne of God, He never slumbers and He never sleeps. He's always watching out for you and me. Amen. Hey, thank God the disciples said, when the storms of life surrounded them, we better go get God. We better go get Jesus. And glory to God, Jesus made the difference in their life. When death comes to your family, you better go get Jesus for comfort. You better go get Jesus for help. You'll not find a counselor. You'll not find a comfort. You'll not find a person who can get you over that situation or get you through it but Jesus. When division comes in your home, when husband and wife no longer get along, and it looks like the home's going up in smoke, and it looks like the children are all run off doing God knows what with God knows who, what are you going to do, y'all, when the storms of life have blown into your home and division is apparent? I tell you what y'all do. Y'all to run into the house of God. Don't go get the man of God. Don't go get the deacon board. Run in the house of God. Get on your knees at an old-fashioned altar and say, God, this is what I got here. He already knows all about it. Just ask Him and give it to Him and God will help you through it. When disease comes to your body and the doctor gives you a bad report and the test don't look so good, give that to God. Amen. Go get Him when the storms of life surround you. When you feel like disaster has struck and you got the worst news that you could ever hear from your job, or things don't look too good financially or economically, what am I going to do? You better go get God, amen, when disaster comes and it's ready and it's stricken in your place. Hey, when you get in a desert place where you feel like you're all alone, you can't feel God no more, you're in a dry place and a barren place, preacher, what can I do when I feel like I can't get through? What can I do when I feel like I can't get God? You get out of your seat, bless God. If it hair lifts the devil and upsets your neighbor, you push through and say, I'm going to an old-fashioned altar and I'm going to go get God. I'm going to do what Hezekiah did. I'm going to pray and seek the face of God. God will help me for my good and for His glory. And you know what He told me to tell you? I'll hear and I'll answer your prayer. You can go get God when the storms of life have surrounded you. What about when the saints need to be stirred? You ever went to a place, got up to sing, and it was just like this. Quiet, dead, church mouse could shout, and everybody would get a witness off the mouse to shout. Ain't nothing happening there. I've been in places to preach, y'all, where the power of God seemed like it wanted to bless there, but the people wouldn't let the Lord be the Lord. They wanted to control the service. They wanted to program the service. Wanted to be in charge of the service. Let me tell you something. When the saints need to be stirred at the house of God, you better run down to an old-fashioned altar and say, oh God, the house of God's in trouble. The people of God are in trouble. They don't want the things of God. They don't want the blessings of God. They think the world has their answer. They think the world will help them. I promise you, it is not in materials. It is not in buildings. It is not in the comfort of your pew. Oh no, it's not in the baptistry whether you have one or not in your church. Hey, the only way you're going to get help, the only way the house of God, the saints of God are going to be stirred, if it's the Holy Ghost comes down and is welcome in that place, and if people are willing to humble themselves and give up their own pride and be obedient to the voice of God, to the Holy Spirit, God will stir the saints of God. I would ask you, ma'am, when was the last time the Holy Ghost run through your soul? I'm talking about from gable end to gable end that you just couldn't help to say, glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. My soul's got a stir. I've got a step in my soul right now. Glory to God. Hey, if you feel like, boy, I need to be moved. I need to be inspired. I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what you can do? You can go get God. I'm going to tell you what else you can do, and I'm done. When the sinners need to be saved, you got a family member or a friend who's lost on their way to a devil's hell. You got a daughter or a son in trouble, and your heart's broken. You don't know what to do. You'd love to see them in the house of God. You know the devil said God don't care. God just going to give them up. You know what you can do? You can do like Hezekiah. You can say, I ain't going to wait for my invitation. I'm going to throw open the doors of the house of God. I'm going to create my own invitation, the old-fashioned order. And I'm going to get on my face before God. And I'm going to ask God, God, would you save us for your glory? Hey, your family member, sir, your daughter, she's got inside her body your blood. Son, hey, listen, sir, your son has inside his body your blood. I don't want a drop of my blood going to a devil's hell, amen. I want to see our families be saved and get right with God. Hey, when the sinner needs to be saved, what can you do? You better go get God. Hallelujah. Amen. If y'all would stand with me this morning, folks are already moving in the old-fashioned order this morning. That's the message today. When you go get God, you better go get Him when He's moving on your soul. When you're in need and in desperation, you just step out. God sees, God hears, and God told me to tell you in the middle of the night last night, I've heard their prayer. Prayers you ain't even prayed yet, He's already listening. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. You're not the I was or the I'm going to be. You are the great I am. There is no God like unto you. And God, when we look around this morning, Father, we see that Satan is trying to sift the saints of God. He's trying to discourage them and defeat them. But God, some this morning have said, we're not going to be defeated. We're going to get an altar and we're going to pray through to God because we believe that God hears and that God answers prayer. Oh, God, this morning, Father, there's some in this altar today, Father, that their sincere worship has been severed. God, they used to testify and used to shout that something's happened, God, things has changed. Been a storm in their life, God, come. A testimony gone, Father. Can't sing like they once did and have the enthusiasm and the joy of God. Father, they're here today, God, to say, oh, Lord, don't let my bitterness defeat me, God. Help me, Lord, I want to bow before you, God, and ask you, Lord, would you help me to worship one more time at the house of God? Father, there are others here today, God, that's come and said, the storms of life surround us. It don't look real good. There is division in the home. There is disease in the body. Oh, Lord, there is death that is in the family, God. There is disaster around our lives. God, there is the situation, God, that we have where we feel in a desert place. But just like disciples, we didn't got Jesus that said, Master, careth thou not that we perish. We've come to an altar, God, asking for your help, believing that you can. Oh, God, this morning, Father, when we pray, God, the saints of God need to be stirred. We need to be moved to tears once more. Burden for the things of God. Burden for the backslid. Burden for the church that should go forward for the glory of God. And Father, we pray this morning, God, for sinners to be saved. Thank you for souls you saved this week. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. I thank God, what if Hezekiah had not prayed? Jerusalem would have been defeated. How many victories, how many blessings are unclaimed today, Father, because we don't pray. Oh, God, thank you for a people this morning who believe you enough to slip to an old-fashioned altar and call on the name of Jesus. There is something about that name. Help us, Lord, we pray. We give you the situation, God. We spread it before you.
your blessing, your favor be upon it. Do it, God, for your glory and for our good. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.